When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Thank y'all for tuning in to Politics, Religion, and Whiskey, the Josh Terry Podcast, brought to you by Raising Grace Studios. Today, we've got some folks with bigger names than what we're used to having here. It ought to be fun. We got some wrestlers, and I hate saying it like that, but it's always funny. I'm not going to fuck up your names. I'm going to let you introduce yourself.
I love some motherfuckers. Fucking controversy. They call me the Big LG. I own that shit, just like I own Doc Gallows. I am one half of the Good Brothers. We are one half, I am, of the Impact Wrestling World Tag Team Champions. Appeared on AEW in the main event like I do every motherfucking week all of a sudden. And guess what? I could not be happier to be here in southern middle Georgia, talking some shit, talking some wrestling, and being a part of a good goddamned podcast. If you want to hear the worst podcast ever, that's Talking Chop. It drops every Sunday morning, wherever podcasts are heard. So crack a beer, take off your pants, listen to the hashtag worst podcast ever. And now here we are on the second worst podcast ever. I got a hell of a lot of good co-hosts. I'm going to shut the fuck up and let them get to it.
How the fuck am I supposed to do anything now?
Well, brother, I'm a one-man promo machine.
Dude,
I'm glad to be
hell
here.
Hell in the fuck? I thought I was fucking good at this.
I'm going to do this like Ricky Morton said. I'll do this for a goddamn living.
I just realized how fucking bad I am. I've got awards, and I just realized how bad I am.
You need to look around this room and realize how much better you're doing, because in the basement of my 8,000 square foot brother mansion, my wife does not want to hear shit out of my mouth. My podcast studio is a minuscule 1/20th of what you have going on in here, and I got fucking dick envy looking at you right now.
Well, you're fucking 6'7". I also have dick envy.
Oh,
for you.
Yeah.
You know how fucking cool I'd be.
Snakeskin boots, 65 Chevelle. I don't have either one of those with me right now, but imagine what it'd be like if I did.
I should have been fucking wrestling.
We could have been partners.
You would have been good at it.
Goddamn right he would.
We look like fucking the off-brand version and then the name-brand version.
You got a little better beard. I got a little longer hair. I don't have any hair. I'm lying like fuck. What matters is this Saturday. You want to promo it? This Saturday, January 30th. Impact Wrestling's Impact Plus app comes to Lyons, Georgia for the first live event of the new year. You're going to see the Good Brothers, the Impact Wrestling World Tag Team Champions. They've made an event at AEW this week, tagging with the Young Bucks. And they're going to be in action, the Machine Gun, Carl Anderson, myself, the Big LG, Doc Gallows. That's why I can promo like a motherfucker. We're going to be in Lyons, Georgia. We're going to do New Year's Clash. We're going to bring Eric Young. We're going to bring Machine Gun Carl Anderson. We're going to bring the BLG Doc Gallows. We're going to bring those Impact Wrestling World Tag Team titles. We're going to bring a world-class professional wrestling show in the middle of a fucking pandemic, whether they want it or not. We are showing up. Zicky Dice, he left the NWA. This is his first independent appearance. We got Big Logan Creed. He's bigger than I am. He's 7 foot fucking tall, and he deserves better than what he's getting right now. I'll say it right here, and I'll take the heat for it. I don't give a shit. We are going to do it live. It's going to be hard-hitting professional wrestling. The Legacy Performance Center in Lyons, Georgia, I got a hard-on for that shit. It's one of the best old-school performance gyms
I don't care if you're a high school kid trying to get better at baseball or an old man trying to get your blood pressure down. This is where you need to be. I got my man Bolo sitting right across from me. I usually don't rhyme so good. I'm going to keep it going, but I lost it. So, fuck, take it over. We're going to be there. It's going to be this Saturday night. The doors open at 6:30 p.m., 7:30 bell time. We got 8 matches. It's an action-packed card from the girls to the boys. You can bring everybody from the kids to the grandparents. It's family friendly. Everybody's going to be there. It's a family friendly event, and I can't wait to see each and every one of you. I want to shake every hand in that fucking building Saturday night.
That's right, baby. We're super excited about you coming out and joining us up there at Legacy Performance Center. Again, it's like Big Gallo said, you know, it's no type of gym that you're used to. I mean, we have everything from indoor batting cages to softball to baseball, football, MMA, boxing, wrestling, strength training, CrossFit. Everything you can imagine in a gym, that's what we have there. Super excited to have it. Super excited to welcome the, you know, professional wrestlers all over the world, just the great names all over to come in and, you know, do their thing. So we're super, super excited and super glad Mr. Gallows is part of it.
If you're a red-blooded American man or female and there's a hair on your dick, you better be there Saturday night.
Have y'all got hooked up with the recreation department over there yet?
For the wrestling promotion, are you talking about for the
what you're doing?
With absolutely, absolutely.
Matt Smith is one of my boys. We went to high school together.
Yeah. We've talked with Parton Park, and we also talked with the Vidalia Rec Department, and everything like that. Spoke with the athletic directors. They've come out, checked it out. Everyone's coming there and kind of love that old school feel. Just kind of fell in love with it. Kind of like my brother. Hey, my brother.
I love what you said, man, because old school professional wrestling is what the South is all about. That's what it embodies. It's tradition. You know, I've been coming down here for years. I remember when I was in TNA the first time over a decade ago, and I came down here on the weekends I had off for Scotty Bullwinkle, and he'd fill up a gym down here in Lyons, Georgia, and it was just a bunch of rowdy professional wrestling fans wanting to have a great time. It's good versus evil, and we see who wins, man, and that's what it's all about. I love it. It doesn't matter. You know, we're very fortunate right now. Leaving the WWE, we're on Tuesday nights. Impact on Access TV, 8 p.m. every Tuesday night. Wednesday nights on TNT with AEW. But you know what matters the most to me? I don't get to see real people anymore. So when I get the chance to get into an intimate setting for 500 people, come to a town in a state that I live in, and have a good time and feel that energy again, that's what it's all about. That's what we're going to do Saturday night. You got Eric Young, Impact Wrestling superstar, a former world heavyweight champion, taking on John Skyler, an up-and-coming guy from AEW. And I'll tell you this, you know, I'm going to beat some ass Saturday night. That's the match. If you're a work rate guy, if you're a wrestling fan, if you're a professional wrestling purist, these guys are going to go the distance. I'm gonna beat the shit out of two guys. That's just what's going to happen. But what I'm telling you right now is this is a world-class professional wrestling card coming. I live in Jackson, Georgia. You know, there's 6,000 people.
Yeah.
You come to a town like this and you get the opportunity with what's going on in the world right now. There's a pandemic going on. There's social distance. There's all these things. We're going to adhere to all that. If we can put 300 or 400 people in this gym, we can all have a good time watching and doing what we love. It means so much more to me. I've been to Madison Square Garden. I've done the Tokyo Dome. I've done WrestleMania. I've done all of it. But my friend Jake Machine Davis is sitting across from me right now. You may not know who he is, but we started out in West Virginia in front of 20, 30 people. And it doesn't matter if there's 20 people or 20,000 people.
Say it, baby.
You lay it on the line and you entertain the people. And I thank all of you who are listening that are going to come out. We don't even have any ringside tickets left. We don't have any VIP tickets left. Spend your $10. Bring the kids. Come out. Have a good damn time and enjoy some good, hard-hitting professional wrestling. That's red-blooded American entertainment, and I love that.
You're fucking golden.
Yeah. I'm just telling you. All right, I'm still – it's not just the fact that you fucking have done all this shit from somebody who's worked in radio to doing this now. But it's just like, you know what? I should go fucking flip burgers.
No, I like to hear myself talk. That's the problem.
Oh, fuck. Me too.
Yeah. God. I made a good living out of it. I love this studio. Our studio is not, we can't sniff shit on this. This is beautiful, brother.
Well, y'all can come here anytime and do y'all shit. I need y'all to come back.
Don't over-invite, because we'll overstay.
Yeah.
when y'all get a chance in a second, because for people who don't know, these guys were fucking cool enough and gracious enough that we played a trick on somebody tonight. And it's somebody that y'all have heard on the show several times before, Matthew Burton.
Still fuck you for that, but okay.
Thank you very much on that.
Enough with the pleasantry. Straight to the fuck you.
I know, he'll do it. He deserves it. But no, so Matthew's done a show. He's going to tell y'all just a little bit about him and his and everything. But you guys, I just want to thank y'all from the bottom of my heart. And everybody that has heard Matthew's story, when they hear what y'all guys did tonight for him, surprising the shit out of him. Dude, I've had some cool people in here, and that's the coolest shit that's happened.
I love that.
Brother. That's cool. It's awesome that you guys are... The event this weekend, which we're going to, Raising Grace.
I love
all of us are going to. But y'all doing that, and man, that's just something special. A lot of people will big league the fuck out of you. And y'all know I'm friends with musicians. Musicians in a heartbeat will big league your ass.
Hey, brother.
He said, and I'm not dropping the dude's name because I love him from watching him grow up.
Sure.
But he went to somewhere. He wanted a picture with somebody, and they wanted to charge him $80 for the picture.
Well, you know, we go through this a lot, and the big league and all that, but wrestling came from the carnivals, man. Like Jake the Machine Davis, my friend here, he hasn't said a word yet. He's meant a few words.
I'm trying to keep it the time. That's the most important thing in the wrestling business. After that introduction you gave yourself, I figure we got to stick to your job.
Why are you talking?
Stick to your job.
That's it, baby. Yeah.
But Gallows ran over. Somebody's got to shorten that shit.
You know what? I'm going to do an Arn Anderson reference right now. I don't like to toot my own horn, but toot. We were on the main event of AEW tonight on TNT, tagging with the Young Bucks, and that's all good. That's all fine. That's great. But my friends in the wrestling business go, Gallows, you're so carny. Why are you going down to Middle Georgia where you live? Why do you want to run wrestling? Why do you want to? Because it's what I came from. It's what I love. And what the look on our good brother's face over here, who's going to take a big sip of brown liquor out of his bottle right now. That to me is more than all that other shit. I love it. That's what wrestling is. That's what it should be. That's what we love. That's what we grew up on. So seeing that, if I could put a smile on your face, it means a hell of a lot more than all that other.
You know what
shit
was cool about it though, to be honest with you, in this world that we live in now, is y'all didn't ask for it to be put on social media.
No.
Like, you did it, even though I'm going to put it on social media.
Well, you should. That's what we all do now. Yeah. That's what we all do now.
But it was never to where you was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do this for some clout. No. You did it because it was the fucking cool thing to do.
Well,
yeah.
That's
what I like.
Yeah,
about.
That's so cool,
this
brother.
This is true. As I'm sitting here, I didn't know this element of it until I walked in here, and they go, hey, we're going to finish doing this watch-along, and we, you know.
Yeah.
If you listen to Talking Shop with Doodler Stone Cold every Sunday morning, we get fucked.
I just got wood.
We do a lot.
Absolutely.
Weird shit on there.
You fucking did Stone Cold.
Hey, what's your name, bro?
I didn't understand that our good brother would be here. They said, hey, you're gonna go over here. This is a good guy. He's gonna do a podcast. I said, great, wonderful. Then I walked in and I realized that we were surprising the good brother here, and that perked me up out of being pretty drunk in the truck. And it made me have a good time.
How are you not drunk in the truck?
Right.
I mean, fuck.
Right.
And
Man, if you don't
that country
like
song
that,
writes itself
if that
right
doesn't
there
give you chills or straighten your dick out, then fuck off. Yeah. That's my opinion.
Well, and the thing was, too, with Matthew, you had no idea. Matthew is he's got a fucking great story. He's battled cerebral palsy his whole life. He petitioned his high school, where we're from, to have wrestling because he wanted an activity he could do.
Sure.
So now, because of him in Dodge County, there's wrestling.
Yeah.
And he does MMA training still.
He told me about that off the air. That's amazing.
He fights. He's done a couple. But the inspiration he's provided to people. And
let's give him one, folks.
Yes.
Let's give him one, goddammit.
Appreciate it.
Yes.
That's as American as it
fucking. That's it, baby.
Here we go.
It's even better now. We told a story on Facebook or TikTok Live all ago. Matthew and can I tell him your record?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
I mean, Coach Beer's never going to live it down anyway, so go ahead.
His record in high school in the 2 years they had it was 0-33.
when you do wrestling, y'all know, like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, that when somebody loses, takes away points
right
from your team. They get down to where they're going to the state tournament,
good
or whatever, his senior year. He tells the coach that he doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to hurt his team. And he was going to back out for his team.
Man. No.
He's the one who started the whole wrestling program. But he knew that if he lost, it was going to take away from the team.
That's being selfless, America. Listen to it.
But it's also the fact that I'm ultra competitive and I hate losing. So I was like, fuck it.
Right.
I'm hurting myself and I'm hurting the team. More importantly, I'm hurting the team. So, like, I don't want to lose anymore. I'm sick of this.
Doesn't matter about your arms and your legs, but your balls are weighing you down. Aren't
that's
they?
It, brother.
That's it.
That's it, man. I tripped over him walking in, brother. Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you.
I can't go nowhere with
Jesus.
You can't walk behind him.
Golly.
But the coach and the team wouldn't let him fucking quit.
Man.
They would rather see Matthew out there.
If nothing else comes out of this podcast, listen to what the man just said. Yeah. That's
hard, dude.
That's what we
had. We had a guy in here that served our military for 30 years on New Year's Eve. He just got back from Guantanamo Bay, and he's retired now, and he's a law enforcement officer. Thank you for your service, by the way, Donald.
Yes, sir.
If you listen.
Yes, sir.
Donald fucking made everybody at this table cry on New Year's. Yep. Everybody at this table cry. There's like 15 of us were hammered, but it was in a New Year's Eve podcast. Sure. And Donald looked at him in front of all the rest of us. It's like, just so y'all know, if I was in a foxhole, I'd rather have him in his heart than the rest of you.
There you go, baby. That's what I love.
Exactly.
Right there.
And the biggest thing about that is it passion. That's the most overused word in wrestling, but it's also the most underutilized because there's so many people that want to say they have it, and then there's the few people that show it. And that's exactly what you did.
Word in life.
Passion isn't limited to the people that step through the ropes.
Yeah,
passion
absolutely.
Is across the board.
You want to hear a funny story about
passion? I love it. Yeah.
With passion. So the first thing I wanted to do was be a pro wrestler.
There you go, baby. There you go.
You're about to be one Saturday night.
Yes, sir.
Because my dad, who was my biggest inspiration, was a huge wrestling fan. And so, of course, I followed suit. I'm a big wrestling fan. I started thinking I could train for it. Then we found out I couldn't run the ropes, which is fine. Okay, cool.
Sure.
So, because, I mean, my balance was off with me running the ropes. So it's like, okay, cool. What next? MMA just happened to be the thing I fell in love with. And ever since then, it's like, my passion shot up through the roof since I was 17 years old, and here I am still trying to do it, even though, you know, I don't know where I'm going next, because 3 weeks ago, I pretty much thought I was going to die. So.
Wow. I feel like a lot of the time I talk for a living, but I never hear anything as good as this. That's such good shit.
Yeah.
I appreciate that, man. That's a huge honor coming from you, but yeah, so like it's just kind of a waiting game and see what happens. But like, I'm so glad I got to be here. Like, this is one of the best surprises I've ever gotten in my life, and to be one that hates surprises, like this one was worth it.
You were fucking hard to trick into it.
I was literally about to go home.
I'm
out of here.
And it wasn't y'all. Is they came in here? He's doing a documentary. And him and his friend Josh are. And so Josh gets done, and Josh works for the government, so he has to work real hours.
Yeah.
And
not like the rest of us.
I work all shit. So like Josh is like, he knew about it.
Yeah.
And he's like, I've got to go, man. Like, I've got to get up. And I was like, well, fuck it. I'm taking him home. Yeah. Hey, there's not a chance in hell that he's missing this shit.
Right, right.
And then, like, you could tell he's like, why the fuck am I staying?
Yeah.
I don't,
I
was like,
I don't mean to be here and it sucks.
There's some fucking guy calling in on Zoom.
Some dumb motherfucker is going to be on the Zoom call.
What was insane, though, is because I felt out the situation. Because I would have felt horrible if, like, you walked in the door and he'd be like,
he would have been like,
who the fuck's this?
Who the fuck this?
So, like, I said your name a couple hours ago.
Yeah.
And he fucking, as soon as he heard it, he knew every fucking thing about you.
Yeah.
And I realized,
cause he's a true good brother.
I try to be, you know.
Yeah. I tell people all the time, I'm a Christian, but I am not an example setter.
Yes, sir.
I believe I fall into that character.
Hear, you know what I'm saying?
I believe in what I believe in.
Yeah.
And I don't have to prove my shit to nobody. Sure. Between me and God.
Yeah.
But you get moments like this to where it's, y'all fucking probably didn't want to come here.
No.
I mean, I wouldn't. Like, if y'all didn't know
brother.
Me, you know, the thing is, You're where you're supposed to be at the time. Right. You're supposed to be in life for a fucking reason.
That's right, baby.
And y'all are supposed to be here to work. Delia. And like y'all, you lined it up. You don't even know. Fucking y'all are the ones that wanted to come do the video editing today. And Kenny messaged me yesterday.
Yep, yep.
And I was like, oh fuck this, we're intertwined this shit. Yeah. I'm just gonna be a fucking sneaky snake. And I'm lining this shit up.
The funny thing was, he goes, do you know Doc Gallows? And I go, yeah.
Oh, I saw that. I was a witness to that.
I Snapchatted y'all. That's yeah. what I forgot.
I go, this, and he
what
goes,
a disappointment when you finally met me, right?
No. It was more than I expected.
I thought you'd be bigger.
I was lucky enough. I was actually lucky enough to walk into the room before, you know, Gallows come walking in and everything. And I saw you tell him, say, hey, guess what, brother? You know, Gallows is here. And dude was like, fucking no. He was like, fuck, bro. I was like, I'm not sitting in that chair. You know what I'm saying? So,
people react to me in a lot of different ways. I love pants shittery. That's like,
yeah. Oh, absolutely, man. Hey,
I don't honestly, get it a lot, but I'll take it when I get it.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
I don't know what to say right now because
and he never shuts
man,
the fuck up.
You know what? I will tell you this, and this is not to promote the show because I'm a walking promotion machine. Everybody sitting here.
Oh, no shit. Know. I haven't heard it yet.
But this Saturday,
oh, shit.
January 30th, Lariato Pro, Impact Plus, fuck all that. You're walking me and the machine gun to the ring. He doesn't know it yet. We're going to be, you know what? We're going to be wearing those Impact tag team titles. We're wearing those Lariato tag team titles. I know the booker. I got a feeling we might win. Appreciate and I can't wait. I want you to carry. Can you carry all four of them, or which one do you want to fucking wear? Because it's on you, good brother.
That's right, man.
Because coming in here made what we're doing Saturday mean so much more to me. I got a son who grew out of this, and it hurts my heart that he's a teenage kid now, and dad's not cool anymore. But to see you pop for it, like, it's fun to watch yourself on TV.
Hey, if you got four belts, I got a 9-year-old that all this shit is named after. My daughter's name is Gracie.
Yeah.
So you might have to let him hold three and let her hold one.
Oh, shit.
They hold, the less I have to do. And I can't get in trouble for swearing like they're a dick because I got in trouble on TV. And Tony Khan said, hey, Doc, you know, I love you and I appreciate what you're doing, but you can't pretend that the belt is a dick anymore and you can't pretend to smoke joints on TV. And I was like, I'm very sorry and I won't.
I have a full-blown 9-year-old Caucasian child.
So instead, I'll let your children do it.
I have a full-blown 9-year-old Caucasian child and she would shit if she was on TV.
That's my thing. Is like,
I don't know.
Full blown. Yeah.
She's full blown. They're
what's her ethnicity?
They're fucking expensive.
Have you seen them on Black Market? Holy hell.
Yeah.
God,
that's some weird stuff on the deep web. I hate
it.
We're not allowed to talk about politics.
Up in this motherfucker. Like, Stone Cold up in this dumb bitch. My name's Stone Cold Steve Austin, but I ain't got no fucking teeth.
Next time you're out of my farm, it's hiding in your fucking pants. That's like when, like,
about the same size there, brother. About the same size.
I'm the heat magnet. It's okay. If you've ever heard of a little fella named Sex Ferguson or watched a little pay-per-view named Talking Shop Mania, it's available on Fight TV 1 and 2. It lives there forever. And watch out for Talking Shop Mania 3 coming WrestleMania weekend. Live on pay-per-view.
Because I was broke. Eventually, I'm gonna watch it.
Oh man!
Well, eventually, I'm gonna get your ass on it.
There you go, baby.
Hell yeah! See, with a live audience this time. Matthew had this idea a couple months ago when he did the podcast. That's something he's been wanting to do.
Let's do it.
He has been wanting to keep fighting and everything. Which I push him to. But the thing I've been trying to tell him is his story and the way that he motivates, even if he's never able to fight again, because it's hard to find an opponent for Matthew.
Well,
him being able to tell his story and, like, be around guys like y'all or whatever, it helps, like, push him and, like, his journey and his story and motivate
I think he motivates all of us.
Absolutely.
There's a little fellow on the couch over there that I know the viewing audience probably can't see right now. His name's Vernon Love. We named him that. He's the worst Elvis impersonator in the entire South, but he looks just like Bill Dundee.
He looks like who?
Bill Dundee. I don't know if y'all ever heard of a little fellow from Memphis wrestling named Bill Dundee. But Vernon Love has
like
got
a Pringles
four.
Can.
Vernon Love's missing six.
That's how the fuck it always happens.
He's missing six toes out of ten, aren't you, son? And he's ready to fucking fight tonight. And I feel like y'all two could have yourselves a hell of a fucking shoot fight. Right, Vernon? Vernon, get up here. Vernon, show them your dancing. Show them your goddamn dancing. Let the people see it. Let the people see how you dance.
They're going to need to hear it. Hold on.
You better make sure old Pringles cans adjust to sell first.
My name's Sex Ferguson in my alter life, but I don't sell sex. That's what sex looks like. If you've ever seen sex live, that is sex.
It's exactly what it looks like.
Vernon, dance for the people.
Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. He slapped my knee twice. Did you see that?
Show him your ass. Show him your satchel ass.
I heard it.
Show him that fucking beautiful ass. God.
You look like Danny DeVito after diabetes.
That's a good one.
Hey, satchel
ass. You better knock
that
up and
eat copyright.
That's not new. I stole that from Terry Funk.
Man.
Hey, satchel ass. That's your rose. Ask him, good brother.
Yeah.
Hey, this is your show tonight. I'm just sitting here drinking.
I'm just.
You always say
I'm
going to
shut the fuck up eventually, maybe.
Because you got better fucking shit to say than I do.
And you like drinking. And you like drinking, homie.
I can't shut up. So you got to ask, so I'll shut the fuck up.
But, man, it's. All right, so in MMA, we have the, you know, you get up-and-coming fighters, amateur fighters.
Sure.
Who are. Scraping at the bottom of the barrel to get
like
to,
Vernon.
They're hungry, baby. They're hungry.
That's to the top. You know, those hungry guys that are not
terrible fighter.
You know, that are not, you know, making what they want to make, you know, and try to get to that level, to that, I hate to say it, but that Conor McGregor level, because nobody's ever gonna make that amount of money. But like, sure. How was it for y'all coming up and being on that same level as an independent?
Well, dude, I'll say this, and nobody knows he's sitting here, but he just happens to be here because he's my legitimate best friend. Jake the Machine Davis, the name might not be known in the wrestling circles other than our region, but like when I started, this dude was, this is pretty fucking funny. He was, what, five?
It's hard to tell where this might go.
About 5 years. About 5 years.
That's the best story.
He was about 5 years older than me, and I was dying to get into pro wrestling. I left high school, and my dad wanted me to go to prep school to go Division I. I wasn't fast enough, so I took a Division II scholarship. And all I wanted to do was be a pro wrestler. I was obsessed.
What was your scholarship for basketball?
For football. I was a center. I was an all-state center. And I would see these guys in the local bars when I would go home. And they'd have these big cuts on their foreheads and shit. And I'd walk up to them and I'd go, hey, what the fuck is that?
Blading.
And now I know when we're best buddies, he would go, get this fucking kid away from me. He's a fucking mark. He's an idiot. He's whatever. And they told me that years later. But I was so intrigued by what they were doing that it drove me nuts, because all I wanted to do was figure out how to get into it. I was dying for it. And he can tell the story probably better than I can. But once I got into it, it overtook my fucking life. And right. I've been doing it. And now here we are 19 years later.
This has to be an obsession to be good at it.
That's the same, right?
Like, yeah.
And you know, it was funny because we were sitting there. We were down here in Lions or Vidalia tonight at the Red Stag Bar. And they go, like, you're on TV in the main event on TNT, and you're sitting at a bar with a bunch of people you don't know. You got a T-shirt table out there, and you're selling tickets to an indie show. Like, why are you doing that? Well, I don't have to do that. I'm obsessed with pro wrestling since the time that I was 10 fucking years old. And I have this thing in my impact deal that wasn't part of my impact deal that I put in there, that I'm going to produce content to go on our app because we have a streaming service. And I love to promote independent wrestling. Why? I could be home in my big ass house with my beautiful wife, but here I am sitting in some fucking bar watching wrestling because I'm obsessed with it. It's the same thing. It's a passion. It might be the death of me, but
it'd be a beautiful death, though.
Whether it's WWE or New Japan or TNA or fucking AEW or ROH or whatever, or I'm 55 years old sitting here in Lions, Georgia. You're going, hey, boys, 55? You coming out on Saturday night? You know what I mean?
He's 55.
That's what happens.
Ain't no way you're fucking
55. No, I'm
60. Oh, my God.
Boy, that's about shit.
I was like, shit, bro. That water in West Virginia is good shit.
Dude, no, what? Like, holy hell. He wasn't 55.
He's a kindred spirit is what it is.
How good would I have looked?
Yeah, dude.
When you just said that, I just realized how fucking far down the genetic line I was.
Yes.
I was thinking, I'm fucking 5'10".
I'm 30. Yeah. I'm 37. I don't admit that.
Well, shit. Yeah. If you're 55, that makes me 60. Holy shit.
Doing this for 20.
I'm 30.
I love the fact that Josh looked directly at me when he thought you said 55, and he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
did he really just say that?
Professional wrestling.
He's 55?
Professional wrestling's been my mistress, my drug addiction, my vice, everything you're not supposed to have, but I've loved it my whole life. That, like, yeah. You're not supposed to make your job your hobby. Yeah, exactly. And I've done that, but I don't know how to do it.
I freaking love that you said that because yeah. I'm in the exact same boat.
It happens, man.
Since I was 17, all I wanted to do was do MMA. Like, in whatever capacity, I can do it.
Yeah.
Whether that's being a promoter, whether that's being a trainer, whether that's being, you know, a matchmaker. Whatever I can do to be a part of the sport until the day I die.
You have the sickness.
It's something I want to do.
The sickness, man. Like, there's an old chapter in a Roddy Piper book, and he says you have the sickness. Because why are you addicted to something that only hurts you?
Right. Ooh, exactly.
Ooh, why are you?
But if you figure out a way to make it work for you, is it sickness?
Right.
I don't think it is, man. Because
therapy.
Whether there's, you know, I was so lucky for all these years, and I'm not good at what I do, but I can talk a little bit, and I fell in.
God dang, bro!
I got to make millions of dollars doing this shit.
Exactly.
I would still be doing it if I made $30 because I'm too dumb to quit. So fuck it, man. It's your passion.
Well, you've got people that either control their demons or their demons control them. And
I've been on both sides.
You know,
you could have had way fucking worse demons.
Well,
then wanting to do what you're doing. So I got to know, what's the craziest thing that you've seen in wrestling in the business?
So this is a question that you would ask to a normal pro wrestler who's been on TV, would come in your studio and he'd go like, well, one time my nose got broken or I got hit with a chair. My journey wasn't like that. You know, I started with these guys when I was 16, 17 years old. And I went to WWE when I was 20 years old and I got fired when I was 25. And to a lot of those guys that were in my era, that was the end of it. The wrestling was over and they went and they became realtors, or they worked for UPS, or they became businessmen. I didn't want to do any of that. I wanted to go to Mexico, Puerto Rico, Japan, do all that shit. And I found myself promoting wrestling in a little country called Nigeria in the third world. And it's been documented, but I was down there, and on my fifth tour, I went home, and I had about $6,000 taped to my legs because there was no TSA at the time leaving Lagos airport. So I had to tape the money to my legs to get out of the country because you can have over $1,000 at the time. And I would tape the money to my legs and I would leave the country. And when I came back the seventh time, the promoter decided that he wasn't going to pay for anything we were doing anymore because what they were doing was they were presenting professional wrestling as a real sport, and they were going around and showing tapes of like me getting beat up by The Undertaker and then me beating up The Undertaker going, this guy was an American professional wrestling champion. Now he's here wrestling the Nigerian professional wrestling champion. So the Nigerian government, which I'm not allowed back in the country via the United States State Department, which is so fucking weird, said, if you go back, there's a bounty on your head. They were going around and extorting money from these local businesses and saying you have to support professional wrestling. Makes no sense. So I was wondering why I was getting all this money to go and wrestle in these empty arena.
You all right, big fella?
Yeah, I'm good. I was going around wrestling these empty arena matches, and so, like, the sixth or seventh tour, all of a sudden, I'm feeling like this isn't going well. Like, there's no crowd. there's nobody coming to the shows anymore. And they go, well, we changed the capital of Nigeria from Lagos to, I can't remember the name of the city, somewhere in the middle of the country. We're going to fly you there. You're going to do an empty arena match for the general. Then we're going to fly you back, and then you can fly home.
Like general, as in probably who their president is.
And we need your passport. And I was like, ooh,
whoa,
fuck that,
ooh, bro. They don't play over there.
This is getting weird for a 28-year-old kid who shouldn't be in the third world running pro wrestling. But here I am. So I took a guy that I used to have a wrestling school, and I said, "You got to come with me because if I fucking get killed, at least you can tell him what happened." They'll probably kill you too. And he was dumb enough to come along. We flew to the middle of Nigeria, and we go, and there's like an open air. It's not a stadium. It's a 5,000 seat little venue, and there's a hard camera in the middle of it, and there's one guy in a suit and tie, and the guy next to him, and a camera. And this fucking 60-year-old guy comes out dressed up like the Pope, and the deal is I got to wrestle him. I have to bleed, and he has to beat me because they need the footage. Then we can fly back to the coast. Then once we get back to the coast, we can fly back to America. And I'm like, well, the fuck is in. So all that happens, and he's wasting time. We come out. We have the worst professional wrestling match you've ever seen. I have a Jack Daniels t-shirt on, a pair of camo shorts or something. I cut my head from eyebrow to eyebrow. I bleed everywhere. They get what they want. They film the shit, and we go back, and I'm like, we got to get on this plane. I got to get these guys home. I got 10 Americans in Nigeria, and now I'm starting to go, things are getting fucky. And we go fly back, to the coast, and we get to the airport, and they go, there's no ticket for you or your friend, only for him, the guy who's the champion of Nigeria. And I was like,
oh, shit.
God damn it. I flew over here in first class eating fucking shrimp bigger than, my right hand. And now I fucking don't even have a flight back to the coast to get home. So he goes, I got no money. I'm sorry. So I whip my credit card out and I buy two flights and we fly back to the coast and we get there. And then all my other guys pull up the airport and they go, hey, they fucked us. They didn't pay for the hotel. They didn't pay for the food. You owe them 20 grand, whatever. And I was like, I'm a 28-year-old kid. And I walk up and I fucking, what you would do. I yoke the guy up by the lapels. And I go, you fucking motherfucker, you piece of shit. Fuck you. And all of a sudden, like, I'm not surrounded by the military. I'm surrounded by people in, like, Lakers jerseys and fucking whatever they got from the Nigerian Goodwill.
Shit, Captain Phillips and shit.
Bayonets and M16s. Yeah, and they're pointing at my fucking face. And it's third world pirate shit like you watch on Amazon. And I was like,
the fuck did you do?
You know how you want to sound like you're a tough fucking cool guy?
First he shit himself, and then we go from there.
You know how I want to say that the end of the story is I told him to fuck off? That ain't what happens in that situation. I went, I got a 4-year-old son at home, in my home in Atlanta, and all I want to do is get on this plane and get the fuck out of here. So I fucking ended up begging off. I had to eat the fucking 10 grand I had to pay the guys. I loaded on a plane, and instead of going back to Atlanta, we ended up at LaGuardia in New York. Like, that's what we always laugh about. I flew in first class, eating big shrimp, drinking champagne. I flew back in the middle seat and coach. we got to LaGuardia, and my phone rang, and it was the United States State Department. They said, hey, man, Nigeria's the most corrupt country in the world right now by our account, and there's a bounty on your head, and you cannot go back. And I was like, I don't want to. How the fuck does this happen to somebody?
Oh my God.
That's what happened, man. But like, that's how wrestling was for me because I didn't want to quit. I didn't want to get a job at UPS or try to go work for my dad's glass company or whatever. And then the next thing I did was I started promoting wrestling in South America, which actually was pretty fruitful. And we did two good shows down there. And I took Bill Goldberg down there somehow. Nice. And then after the second show, we came back and we were planning the next one. I was making fucking a lot of money doing it. And then they fucking double tapped the motherfucker and shot him in the head.
What?
And he was dead. And there was no more pro wrestling in South America. So like, wow. My wrestling journey is a lot different than everybody else because I was too dumb to quit. And I just kept doing it. And
that's the same thing.
Too dumb or too passionate.
When you have a passion or an obsession like you got fucking bull riders. Bull riders almost die every time they get on.
We watch that shit on Netflix all the time.
Yeah, bull riders, the second they get on, or even before going to, they know there's a chance they're going to die.
Too dumb to quit.
It's 50-50.
Yeah, well, they'd rather live with the chance of dying than live without ever doing what
that's
they love.
Absolutely.
Fucking performance gene that lives inside of you because it sounds so fucking stupid and it is.
Well, it's because,
like, I'd rather have that high and die than never have it, and it's dumb.
Well, think about it.
We all have it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like this guy sitting over here who hasn't said a word. Like, we've been in fucking basketball middle school gyms and fallen on thumbtacks and cut our heads open and bled like pigs in front of 200 people. And there was $200 on the line, and we never should have done it, but we just wanted to prove a point. I don't know. It's just a weird, passionate thing.
Well, it's one thing that people fail to realize when you have a passion or an obsession is your definition of living and my definition of living are completely two different things.
Yes, sir. That's right.
If you don't do wrestling, you don't consider yourself living.
That's right.
That's why you get all these guys.
I mean, I tried cocaine, but I've never got the same high as I got from fucking following thumbtacks with him. Weirdly, I know.
It makes perfect fucking sense.
Yeah.
So I mean, it makes crazy fucking sense.
It's so weird.
I mean, the
thing about it is everybody has a void in their life they're trying to fill.
Absolutely.
The bad part is that pro wrestlers, the void can't be filled. You have to keep going.
That's right. That's right. You can't get enough high. That's for sure.
That was the poster boy for that. That mentality is I just hit the ground and keep going. It doesn't matter what happens. If I go to WWE at 20 years old and then I leave at 25, I'm going to hit the ground running. I'm going to go to Puerto Rico in 2 days after that and then Japan. And then wherever I go, then I'm going to start.
You don't want to be the guy left in the dust.
I'm going to go to Nigeria and bleed. Like, you just like the most dangerous country in the world. It's the most dangerous country if you're going to bleed, too. Like, he could have died
or
just
people have
of
AIDS
that,
per capita. I said, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
When I cut my head open, maybe. I don't know.
you don't get to think that far down the road. You're thinking about right now. What's tomorrow like?
What's the next day?
Especially when you're doing it in a schedule that he is and guys that are in that situation, you don't get to slow down. You have to keep going because if you slow down, people pass you.
Absolutely.
And that's the way the business works. It doesn't matter if you're on an indie level, if you're on every major company the planet's ever seen like he has, you can't slow down because as soon as you do, somebody's going to pass you and then people are going to forget about you. And nobody's forgetting about him. Long after everybody at this table is long gone, they're going to remember the name Gallows because he made his mark.
I knew after my first run that I was a fucking terrible lackey to CM Punk, and like no one was going to give a shit about that. There was no way to make a living after that, after about a year of doing like... I go to the county fair and be the guy who used to be the CM Punk. But after that, like, what is it? I'm out of the business. I'm working for UPS. I'm bringing your fucking Amazon package. Or I better figure the fuck out and make you go like, oh, shit. Like, I had to pay to see this guy.
Yeah.
No. I'm your neighbor. And fuck your neighbor. You ain't going to pay to see him. He's a good neighbor.
Well, yeah.
You ain't going to pay money to see the motherfucker, though.
It's so weird that I can relate to that.
It's
so weird that, like, you... star that you are, I can relate to that. Because I feel the same way about...
But stardom is measured in such a... Like, I'm a star right now in your eyes, but if you didn't see me for 6 months, it goes away, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think that, to me, you would still be a star.
Because I've followed you since the Festus.
Yes, thank you. But
which I had a question about that, too.
Oh, I'd love... Yeah, let's do it.
So... We talked about it a little bit before the podcast.
Yeah.
But how did you feel portraying that character? Because as somebody with a disability, like, I found it was entertaining, yet slightly...
It's a little off-putting, isn't it?
Yeah, off-putting, slightly offensive, just like the Eugene character. I didn't like that either.
I want to answer that twice. My initial response to it was this, like... I was in developmental, and I, like, for a very small time.
Right.
I was in great shape. I was this jacked up guy. I had fucking black eye makeup. I brought a tarantula in a ring, and they said, "You're gonna be the third brother of the Undertaker and Kane." And I'm like,
"See, I had no idea."
By the time I'm 23, I'll be a millionaire in my
I would have said whatever the fuck you want me to do.
Yeah, man, let's do it.
I mean, there's not
any
fucking doubt.
Well, then, you know.
You want me to wear what?
Well, then, then the human element steps in. I failed a drug test, and they tell you that you can't fucking travel with a fucking tarantula anywhere, no matter what I tried to go. Oh, there's docile. They don't give a fuck.
Right.
And that ended. I worked Val Venus in a dark match for Monday Night Raw one night, and then I went home for 30 days because I had a trainer who I love and will never bury, but we did old school Japanese training, 500 squats a day, 200 push-ups, bumped the ring for 6 hours, and I had 2 ruptured discs, and I was 22 years old. And that fucks you up.
Right.
Yeah.
No shit.
No doubt.
You know, and then he was like, "Are you a pussy?" Or you? And I was like, "I mean, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know what you want me to do." And then all of a sudden, it was like, "Well, they can't do the spider and all this shit." I was supposed to debut at WrestleMania, the 2006 one, when Boogeyman wrestled Booker T. I was supposed to come out from the ring.
Right.
And kill both of them and put the spider on them. That was the debut of the freaking Dean. I was going to be the third brother of the Undertaker and Kane.
Right.
Like, I was like, I'll be a fucking millionaire by the time I'm 24. Fuck it.
Right. Right. Understand.
Doesn't work like that. And then they go, well, and then Paul Heyman, who has always stuck me a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
He gave the spider thing because Boogeyman didn't. They were like, he just does the clock. Gave him the worms,
right.
Whatever, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And then that became that, so I didn't do that. And then I went up and I did a couple freaking digging matches, and they loved it. I would pin the guy and I would drop the spider on him, and like, you can't travel with a spider around the United States. There's no way to do it. It's all this animal cruelty shit, whatever. Okay, cool. And I don't want to do the Eric Rowan thing that we just did a year ago.
Yeah, the fake spider. Yeah, no.
But I would have done anything at that point. I was making $500 a week, dude. Like, get me on TV, please.
No.
Understandable.
Was the motivating factor for you right then more the money or the fact that you would have got to be there with The Undertaker and Kane and these big names? I would almost bet you it was more the people you were around.
So...
It's usually a package deal.
It was really weird, man, because
money, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because like 6 months in, they call me and they go, "Hey, you're gonna go wrestle Kane." I was like, "I can't do that. I don't know what I'm doing yet." And they're like, "Well, you're gonna do it or you're not." And I did it. And they go, "Well, you did pretty good. You're very great at it, whatever." And then this character shit came in. And they go, "Well, you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that." And then all of a sudden, they go, "Well, you can't have this spider or whatever." So I went from, like, the guy with the coolest gimmick in developmental who was going to be this big star. Like, I had nothing. So I went back, and they had hired Henry Godwin. Mm-hmm. And he was going to tag with my good friend Ray Gordy, who's Terry Gordy's son. They were going to be the new Godwins, which would have been a low-card act, but they would have, you know... had a good 6-figure gig, whatever, and I went like, "Fuck, I don't know what to do." Well, then Henry had like a personal issue, and they either fired him or he left or whatever. He had a kid who passed away. It was really sad. There was this like, they wanted to use this fucking pig farmer act, whatever, for whatever reason. So I was like, I got nothing. So I started watching the Blue Collar Comedy Act,
right,
thing. And I said, "Let me do a promo. I know I can talk." So I went in, I cut a couple promos. I was like, "Okay, cool." And we did a couple tag moves, and we became the thing. So they took us to SmackDown, and we were going to be the new Godwins. And I'm like, "Well, neither one of us is a Godwin, and this ain't going to last. But if it gets us paid for a couple weeks, whatever, fine, we're not getting fired." And we start doing that, and we're going to debut on SmackDown. Then all of a sudden, they come out the ring and go, "Hey, then you guys in Vince's office." I'm like, "Us? Like,
right.
We're below shit on the totem pole at this point.
Right.
There's shit and there's us."
Yeah. How intimidating is that?
It wasn't as intimidating as you think because we're below shit.
Okay. You're getting on the loose at that point.
Well, yeah. If you're somebody and you called in there, you're like, "Oh, fuck." But like for us, we're just like,
fuck it, what's the
worst? All we can do is go up, you know?
Are we going to make less than $500 a week? Because I don't know how we can even live. I don't know if we'll die. So we walk in there and he goes, "Hey, have you ever seen anybody who's catatonic?" And I go, "No, sir." He goes, "Do this." Vince McMahon goes, and I go, "I tried to do it back." He's like, "Not like that, goddammit, like this." So we start making the fucking
back. The fastest face.
Yeah, y'all can't see it. We've got this goddamn face
I remember. Like, I remember the face, right? This motherfucker, and then he goes, "Okay." And when the bell rings, you'll go crazy. And then when it rings again, you'll go back to being catatonic. And I go, "Okay." He goes, "That's your gimmick." And I was like, "Oh, fuck." And he looked at Gordy and he goes, "And you, what's your favorite color?" And Gordy goes, "Yellow." And I was like, "That's a bad answer."
Of all the fucking colors.
And Vince McMahon goes, "Okay, get a yellow singlet. You'll be his handler." And I was like, "What the fuck? This is our gimmick now? I'm the fucking special ed guy and you're my handler?" And that became our gimmick.
Yeah.
And then, and what you were saying that we talked about off the air earlier, I'll tell you this. So, like, I had a couple years doing that. I bought my first house. It felt weird. Like, because you got to understand, when you grew up wanting to be a pro wrestler, I thought I was going to have long blonde hair, which I couldn't grow.
Right.
A sweet Ric Flair robe, which I didn't have.
Right.
I was going to fucking have a golden tan. I was going to be the man.
You thought you
were. And now I'm Festus.
Right.
Right.
Right. So I can imagine for
so
you.
So fast forward that, they go through that, and then they decide there's nothing for Jesse anymore, but I'm 6'6", and I can move a little bit, and I'm getting better. I'm not as green as I was. They're going to repackage me. They'll put you under a hood. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And all these ideas, and then I became the straight-edge guy. Anyway,
right. This
is where I'm getting to, that I wanted to tell you, and I'm glad we're talking about on air, and I wanted to say it to you, because I want to know how you would feel about this, because being a performer, as we all are.
Yeah.
Right.
You have things that make you feel very uncomfortable, but you do it. Like, we can sit and roll off our tongues and roll off our backs and tongue in cheek, and we can fucking ad lib, we can talk shit, we can do whatever. He can fucking turn this around into whatever he wants because he's the host of the show.
Right.
I was in Palmetto, Florida, right? And they go, "Hey, this is an FCW show, but you're here." So I got this mask made and all this shit, so I was going to try it out. And then when the Undertaker to see me work in it was a big deal, you know. I think, "Well, you're here for the week, so we want Festus to headline the show, so we don't have any main roster guys. It'll be like a kind of little draw for a little 200 people show." So, like, I was like the name on the indie show kind of thing, you know, whatever, cool, whatever. Great. So I do three or four of them, and it's easy. I do a little Festus match, whatever. We get in this little bar and grill somewhere in downtown Tampa. And Tom Pritchard is a friend of mine, a very dear friend of mine. I'm not married him.
Right, I've heard of him.
Whatever. So it's a bar, there's 200 people out there, whatever. And Festus is gonna come out. I'm gonna do the Festus deal. And I come down these stairs, and they don't tell me shit. There's like pipe and drape. I walk down the stairs onto the stage, and they go, "Once you walk on the stage, do your beauty shot, do your pose." Festus doesn't have a pose. He's and then he walks into the thing, and they ring the bell, and I beat the shit out of somebody. They ring the bell again, I go back. This is the smallest I've ever felt in my whole career as a pro wrestler. They hit the music, the biscuits and gravy, there's a little pop, because they've seen me on TV for fucking 2 years, whatever. I walk out, I'm doing the fastest thing, and it was a Special Olympics appreciation dinner. They fucking tell me that. So the stage is all them and their families.
Right.
And then I'll have to walk through them, and then I have to go down to the regular fans, and I have to get in the ring and wrestle. And looking at those parents, looking at me, was the fucking worst. I've been proud to be a wrestler, and I love doing it. It was the worst I've ever felt. Like, it made me feel like the biggest piece of shit. Because they knew that I knew what I was doing and I had to do it.
Right.
You want to feel better? You want me to make
it
you feel better?
It was fucking awful.
Yeah.
You want me to make you feel
because
better?
They're like, and then I'm trying, like, I do the match and I'm trying to, like, walk back and I can't even fucking look at them because, like, they're just going, like, "Fuck you, dude. Like, we live with this. Fuck you."
Yeah.
But it wasn't my idea to do that. I never would have done that.
And see,
it just hurt my heart. That, because I have kids.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why I said when you told me that off air, that's why I was like, dude, I'm sorry. Because, like, I can imagine.
I would have never fucking done that.
Right.
And see that. Ever. And Dr. Tom Pritchard is a friend of mine. Right. And he didn't understand that.
Right.
I truly believe that.
And see that.
But I felt like such a fucking piece of shit. That, like, it I still think about it. It was right. So weird. Because I just saw those moms and dads going, like,
is that a pretty fair assumption? That's the
man. Fuck you.
Well, the thing is, I'm thinking about it like this though. Everybody in this room has seen the movie Radio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You've seen Forrest Gump. Right. Yeah. And all these other things, right? I watch theirs knowing I'm being entertained.
Absolutely.
I know that when I watch that, I'm
but
watching.
But a live performance of it.
But yeah. Think about this though, too, though.
That hurts. This is where
like people might think I'm an asshole or insensitive.
But, I want to hear your
opinion. Okay. I would think that if I was a child and I looked in the mirror and I knew what my reflection was, and I had a disability, but then I saw someone in the ring that mirrored me, I do not think that they would see it as you making fun of them or anything. I think it might even be along the lines of
I don't know that the kids did, but looking at the moms and the dads.
But who were you wrestling for, the kids or the moms?
Bro, well, let's let Matt say.
That's a tough one.
Go ahead, Matt.
See, that's what I was about to say.
That broke my fucking heart. And, like, I've always loved doing this, but that was the worst day I ever did it. I was a piece of shit.
That's what I was about to say. I'm sorry you felt that way. Because, like, for you, like, you said it hurt your heart.
Yeah.
For me, it was one of those things where, okay, I get it. Because for us, for people with disabilities, and no, I'm not saying that, you know, mine is better than anybody else's. Sure. Anybody with a disability.
Right.
For us, it's important to get any kind of representation on TV.
Absolutely.
That was the part I didn't understand because you don't know how to, like, I don't know how you guys feel about
right.
that. See, and I don't want to make you feel bad.
Right.
It's supposed to make you feel good.
Yeah.
See, like, the difference between your character and Eugene, like, Eugene's character hurt me worse because I knew people like that. Yours, I could kind of tell was a, you know, I could tell it was a gimmick. Yeah. So, like, I understood it, and yeah, it made me uncomfortable, but I got it. So it didn't offend me as much.
And at the end of the day, it matters more what you feel about it than what I felt.
Right.
And I feel like I never talk about shit like this. It sounds like such a fucking pansy, but
no,
I just, I felt bad because I didn't want to look at those, because I'm a dad.
Right.
You know what I mean? I didn't want to look at the moms and dads and them going like, you fucking, fuck you.
Right.
And the kid, but there were kids who were happy when the bell rang and I went crazy and I beat his ass and the bell rang again and then they liked it. So right. Maybe it's all right.
It's not a pansy, by the way. It's just being real.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's just having a heart.
That's like...
Would you say that was probably one of the most difficult things you had to deal with in the wrestling business?
You know, I've been in front of fucking... Not because I have any skill, because I've been lucky and I've tried real hard. I've been in front of fucking 100,000 people. There were 200 people in there, and that, like, was emotionally more... I was more invested in that than I was at fucking WrestleMania or the Tokyo Dome, because I was like, I don't want these people to feel like I'm a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm supposed to make them happy.
Mm.
It's more intimate, probably, when you're like that, too.
Yeah. So, universally speaking, the wrestling business is always, like, there's no limits, like... Nothing is
that's
off limits
the thing too,
until,
like,
you figure out where that limit
right,
is.
And
yeah.
Like, oh, we need to back it off.
Nothing's off limits when we pointed our cocks on TNT.
Exactly.
That's funny.
But it's like
right. When you touch a nerve that's like
yeah.
a real nerve,
and just,
like you're
just,
doing something wrong.
Well, and just like the cock pointing thing, somewhere, somebody's going to get offended. And
if you're offended by cock pointing,
explain the cock pointing thing.
There's a nerve for everybody.
That's what I was going to say. I grew up with the fucking with the DX thing.
Oh, that's
yeah.
the best.
I remember being like in school doing that shit.
Right, right.
But very much like he was saying about it wasn't my idea. You know, it's
yeah.
like, the talent never gets to make those choices, but the people in the office doesn't quite look at it from the same perspective as the guy has to walk out there and do it. It seems like a great thing on paper.
Yeah.
But whenever you're the guy that actually has to go out and put yourself in that position,
yeah.
then it's like, well, they're not looking at it. They're looking at it like, well, you're the tool that we're building this with. You just
that's
do what we what you're
right.
to do. You do what we tell you to do, and that's what builds what we're trying to build. they don't get that choice. And I mean, it's such a clash of I don't know, perspectives, because the person making the ideas and the person executing them is two different worlds apart. Whenever they don't get to have a say in that kind of thing, you know, right. I mean, there's no creative control unless you're on the upper echelon. So you just, like Gallo said, like, you go out and do what we told you to do, or we'll find somebody else that will. Like, he didn't have a choice. You either did or he didn't. Somebody else will step in that spot in a heartbeat. You know what I mean?
Well, you had a good question a while ago.
Yeah, you know, and like I said, I think Luke pretty much well, or I'm sorry, Gallo's pretty much well, you know, touched on that, talking about the hardest thing in the business. And, you know, of course, you know, in my wrestling career, I didn't, you know, I couldn't, you know, have a drop in a bucket compared to some of the things that Gallo's been able to accomplish. But, you know, one thing that I'd like to touch on after he touched on, you know, one of the hardest things he dealt with was when I first got into the business, you know, they had me billed as a bad guy. And, you know, I have a heart that's as big as this room. And, you know, I have kids like Gallo and everything like that. So we had done the show. They brought me in as the big muscle. I come in, I done my spot. Everything was good. Crowd popped. It was beautiful. Well, afterwards, some kids caught me outside. And, you know, again, I'm a bad guy. I'm a heel. So some kids caught me outside, and they come over there, and they said, and, you know, I'm green. Lord Jesus, I'm green. Well, these kids come up, and they're like, Bolo, will you take a picture with us? So, of course, you know what I did.
You did.
I took a picture with them, stood there and done the whole, you know, hey, you know, this, what, nothing. Well, by that time, the promoter come by, and he saw it. It was out in South Carolina somewhere. The promoter come by, and I've never got an ass chewing like I got that day in my life. He come up to me and he's like, let me tell you something. I mean, little bitty guy, I could have popped his neck, but he was like, you know, you're a heel in the business. We're promoting you to be this, you know, big old bad guy. You got to always do it. And I said, well, listen, partner. I said, they're kids. I'm not going to be able to, you know, shun these kids like, but he looks at me and he says, well, I'm telling you, he said, if you're a heel, you have to be a heel. It's real. You know what I'm saying? So even though I turned around and I said to myself,
is it real to him or them?
Hey, I don't know. But I turned around and I thought to myself, I was like, man, this dick, don't talk to me. You know, that's kind of my mentality, but I'm driving down the road. And then the longer I stayed in the business, the more I started thinking, you know, was he really that wrong? You know, and it was hard for me because I don't want to walk by and shun a kid. But well, I want you to hate me if I'm playing a part.
It's a hard line.
Like, yeah, it is. It is.
I felt like for all these years, Jake and I our friend Leslie Leatherman, the way we started, we grew up on the Horsemen and Ric Flair and Tully Blanchard and Greg Valentine and Wahoo McDaniel. They were hard-nosed motherfuckers. You know, we talked about this today. We were in my beautiful gym in my beautiful house that I have because of modern wrestling. But I wouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a hard line to walk because in their eyes, like Jim Ross, I did a spot on AEW that didn't air that I showed to you guys, I think.
Yep.
Where it's the new school shit. We passed a joint on the floor to do a powerbomb spot, and then I put it out on the guy's back, and standards and practices, they nixed the spot. Fine. That's the DX, NWO shit that we grew up on in the 90s. We're all in our 30s.
Which is why I'll throw up the two sweet to this day.
Every time we meet, we throw up two sweet.
Right.
What blows my mind?
But you have that balance of like Jim Cornette will go online and go, he's been good to me because I know Jim. And he'll go, well, at least Gallows looks like he can beat their ass or whatever. But they hate all that. And I get why they hate all that, because I grew up on the Horsemen. I grew up on Harley Race, and I grew up on Wahoo McDaniel, and I grew up on these hard-nosed motherfuckers. But here's the deal. If you subscribe to all that, you ain't going to make hundreds of thousands of dollars. You ain't going to make that fucking – you ain't going to be on TV in the main event. You ain't going to have a seven-figure job. You ain't going to live in that big-ass house. Like, that's just the reality of it. The business changed, and I love that they get to talk about it and still make a living out of it. And they might be right, and I do love that kind of wrestling. But fucking Young Bucks,
but you're
they're millionaires for a reason.
Right, right.
And they do cool shit. Plug me into that, brother. But you're 37. Wrestling, though, right? Wrestling evolves, dude.
You said you're 37?
I'm 37.
So well, that's like 37. With, yeah, well, like 37. Me being 33, we grew up in that attitude era. Sure.
Damn right.
All
we
that
did.
Shit yeah. That probably made you want to do it in the first fucking place.
Of course.
Yes.
That's what made
so
me want
like,
to do
it's
it.
It's ingrained in you. So when they start, so
they go,
the
hey,
tape,
you go, they go, you can't point at your dick on TV. And I was like,
that, the attitude era would never made it.
But out. I sure want
and
to.
It's the best period of wrestling.
Oh,
ever
absolutely. Said, absolutely.
Yeah. First, that's why when we went to Access on Impact, I loved it because Scott D'Amore goes, hey, we're rebuilding this company. You guys be you. Be you in Japan. And I come out and I pretend the belt is my dick.
Right.
It's funny. People like it. It's not a serious. I'm not doing a sexual gesture.
Right.
It's just I've did it for years.
Right.
Yeah.
I walked out on TNT and Tony Khan pulled me aside and said, hey, Gallows, man, I love you. We're getting along great, but, like, this is TNT. So you can't pretend you're smoking joints, and you can't pretend like you're jizzing with your belt. And I went, I understand that. Thank you, bro. I won't. I get it.
Nice.
But what makes wrestling cool? If you're the outlaw motherfucker
right.
who yeah. drinks and smokes and fucking... I'm not going to lie on your podcast. I do that in real life. You come over to my fucking mansion, I'm going to fucking drink and smoke and point at my deck. That's what I do.
There's only one dude that
it's an elevated version of yourself. That's what's successful.
That's what makes wrestling work.
And you have to be willing to
evolve. Because look, like I want to, in my real life, I want to be the Doc Gallows character. I'm not. I'm Drew, who has to take his kid to school in the morning, but I want to point at my dick. Right. I want to smash beers all day.
You're a grown fucking man.
I
want to
fucking throw up two sweets. I want to fucking drive my go-kart around. I want to do all that.
Right.
Fuck it. That's what makes it cool. Not right? That's why
man.
We all marked out for the NWO and DX. We did. Fuck it.
I'm telling you, I don't remember hardly anybody else on those rosters.
Well, I know, babe.
But if they were not...
She goes, you do that.
If they were not an outlaw in my mind, I don't remember. Stone Cold Steve
then
Austin.
Fuck them.
Yeah, exactly. Stone Cold fucking could never get away with slamming beers
at work.
Now,
no,
shit now.
No.
And if you ask, I won't ask y'all because y'all were actually associated with him. But like growing up, Stone Cold was like,
oh, I'll tell
my
I
guy.
I don't mind telling you any of that. I'll tell y'all.
Who was somebody that when you were fucking a kid, you was watching it? Who was that guy that just pushed you over there? All of y'all,
okay,
y'all in the business.
I'll tell you the whole thing.
Pushed you into wanting to be you.
I was watching Saturday morning cartoons and I saw Jake the Snake Roberts with green tights on.
Yes, sir.
And I went like, that guy looks weird. And he hooked the DDT and he dropped him and he dropped the snake on him. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And the next thing was a Hulk Hogan promo.
That's
my guy. I went, are you fucking kidding me? If I don't do this, I'm a failure at life. And I saw that. And then, you know, you're 8, because we're the same age, roughly.
You're close enough.
And then I become a teenager, and I get mad because all these other fucking idiots start liking wrestling. I'm like, you guys don't even get what I know.
Oh, yeah.
And then
I remember when Steve was
then
blonde.
Then there's Steve Austin. Then there's fucking Steve Austin doing double birds. There's fucking Kevin Nash getting more pussy than anyone I've ever seen in my life. He's 6'10". If you don't want to do that, like, fuck off.
Yeah.
That's why I do this now.
Is it safe to say, like, even outside the locker room now is not what it was back in the 80s and 90s?
Right.
Are the minds? Because now when I look at you look like the real
not
fucking
in my
deal.
Locker room.
That's what I'm gonna say. You look like the real fucking deal. You look like you lived the life. But a lot of these guys that I see now,
there are two guys.
They look sweet as fuck.
One of them's named the Machine Gun Carl Anderson, and the other one's named the Big LG. And we've kept it alive, but you're right.
It just seems different. And that's not attractive to me. Like, being around you now, and I know that there's still, like, some real motherfuckers that I grew up with loving, like, it makes me want to reinvest myself in it.
Wrestling's still alive. You just got to figure out where.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you, the guy for me that made me, like, really want to do it, other than guys I grew up watching with my dad, like Ultimate Warrior, Hulk Hogan, but the guy that made me personally want to do it, Shawn Michaels.
Sure.
Shawn Michaels was the guy. And to this day, he's still the number one guy as far as performance.
Think about why you liked him. He was the best at what he did in the ring.
And he was brash as fuck.
All the girls wanted to fuck him.
And didn't give a shit.
And he was cool.
Yep, exactly.
He didn't give a shit.
I remember that one time he did his pose thing and collapsed in the ring.
and my mom, and I cried. I was like 8 years old. I cried and went running to my mom talking about Shawn Michaels collapsed.
This is a real story, and I want Jake to talk on this just because, like, he's an integral part of my past. But the reason I'll tell this story, I think you understand. I was 26 years old, right? And I got fired from WWE the first time after a 5-year run, right? I was Festus, I was Luke Gallows, I was whatever.
Right.
And these guys, he had 4 kids and a wife, a year older than me. He goes, "Hey, you want to come do the show?" I go, "Yeah, I do. We can pay you this." "Yeah, whatever, I don't care what you pay me." I said, "Well, I want to prove a point." "Well, what's the point?" "Well, I don't know." So we fucking cut our heads, fucking coast to coast. We fell in thumbtacks. We rolled around in barbed wire. And all I wanted to do was show people that, like, I wasn't some fucking WWE pussy and that I wouldn't do all that. Because I wanted to go to Mexico. I wanted to go to Puerto Rico. I wanted to go to Japan. And I didn't want to be just some fucking athlete out of college who went to WWE. I wanted to be a fucking pro wrestler. And I remember we were doing it in our hometown, and there was, you know, 700-800 people in the building with my dad. And he's fucking got me on the top rope, and he's suplexing me with the tacks, and I look over, and my dad goes, "Fuck you, fuck, 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 fuck." He's still mad at us about it.
Every time he gets brought up.
But all that we wanted to do was be pro wrestlers and prove that we could do it.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Well, and the thing that was, like, he was talking about the old school compared to the new school. 4,000
thumbtacks, and I go, "That sucks. I guess we'll follow him."
it was that clash of the old school and new school mentality, because he came out of the new school at that time, and, you know, it was a stacked card. You know, Flair did a promo on there. Funk was the referee in that match.
That was our. That's what we always. When he comes down to my fucking. When he comes to my mansion in Georgia, and we get hammered, and the wives go to sleep, you know what we do? We watch me and him in that gym in Kaiser, West Virginia, with Terry Funk referee and us following thumbtacks every fucking time. We don't watch WrestleMania. We don't watch the Tokyo Dome. We don't watch any other bullshit. We watch me and him with Terry Funk, our hero, yelling at us while we roll around in thumbtacks.
Yeah.
And every fucking time.
It's bittersweet and funny.
And you can call us marks or whatever, but we just love it. I don't know.
But, and you guys obviously can attest to sitting around this table knowing that he's about as grounded of a brother as there is. But,
I'm in love with the cat.
The thing is, for me personally, like, obviously he's wrestled in every company you can get to, every major building you can get to,
every country
on the planet. and I still look at him like he's the 15-year-old kid that used to come up to me
they
in
call
the bar
me the kid.
After we were wrestling. Yeah, he's 37 years old. He's like,
I used to walk up to him in the bar and go, "What's wrong with your head?" He's like, "Stop touching."
I thought his name was Big Mark for like the first 2 years I knew who he was. And I realized, "Oh wait, that's not his name." And then once he got old enough to legally be allowed to perform in the wrestling business.
I loved it so much that I couldn't take it.
And the thing is, he still has the same like sparkle in his eye for pro wrestling.
There's no reason for us to be in there's no reason for us to want to have a show in Lyons, Georgia. Like, I'm on Impact and I may have been at AEW, but I cared more about selling tickets at the bar in Lyons for the show Saturday than tagging with the Young Bucks on TNT, because I love pro wrestling.
That's right.
It's in you, man. If it's in you, it's in you.
You can't deny it. Well, speaking of that, I think that's how we end it. Y'all promote the show a little bit more. I would love to have all y'all come back next time you're down around
this way. I'm having a great time. I'm not leaving.
Fuck it.
Where's the air mattress? Are you kicking us out? What the fuck?
No.
The wives have wanted to leave since before we got here, but
no.
2 o'clock with an hour and a half.
Y'all promote the stuff y'all got just for this weekend, and we'll get off of here. And we're gonna do this again.
We have to.
Every Sunday morning, a new Talking Shop drops anywhere podcasts are listened to. But the big news is this: Saturday, January 30th. Impact Plus taping for Lariato Pro Wrestling. You're going to see the Impact Wrestling World Tag Team Champions featured and winning on AEW this Wednesday night. We'll be in action here in Lyons, Georgia. You will see Impact Wrestling former World Heavyweight Champion Eric Young taking on AEW's John Skyler. You'll see each and every star from the Lariato Pro roster, including the Talking Shop of Mania pay-per-view superstars. When I say superstars, I use the term loosely, but you're going to see people from every realm of professional wrestling, from AEW, Impact, ROH. They're all going to invade Lions, and you know what we have? The only goddamn thing we have left are $10 general admission tickets, and there ain't a lot of them. So this promo sucks. What you need to do is show up Saturday night, Lions, Georgia, Legacy Performance Center, live professional wrestling with an audience for the first time. You're going to see it in 8, 10, 12 months. I don't give a shit. We will be there. We will be live. The Machine Gun Carl Anderson, the Big LG Doc Gallows, the World Tag Team Champions representing Impact Wrestling. You will see it live, and then it will go up on the Impact Plus app, $7.99 a month. You can see every pay-per-view in the history of TNA Wrestling live right there.
Fuck you.
And I'm going to,
I have nothing to say.
And I'm going to Firehouse Subs for lunch tomorrow. Be there. Yeah.
Be there.
Cleveland Steamer.
Fuck you guys.
Double beat. I'm out.
All right.
Fuck you guys.
Thank y'all for listening to Politics, Religion, and Whiskey, the Josh Terry Podcast. We'll catch you next time.
Good time.
Yes, boys. Sir.
Well, thank you. Thank you, bro. No, thank you.